Hello, PNP. How are we doing tonight? Let's see here. Awesome. We already got a hand raised. All right. As most of you all know, I'm Coach Betsy, and I'm so excited to be here tonight. I took a little time off last week for Thanksgiving, so been missing my coaching, so excited to get in here. Y'all come in and say hello in the chat. Yeah, let me know where you're from. Memphis, you're not very far away. All right, we got some hand raised already. Yeah, y'all let me know. So I'm just going to talk real quick about a few little announcements that we've got. The whole team met earlier today, and so thinking about kind of everything that's going on in PNP and all of the exciting, amazing things that we got coming up in 2020. Y'all, it's off the chain, as Corinne would say. First is, you all probably heard that we are currently in the process of totally revamping No BS for 2020. So it's going to be totally new lessons. It's a new organization. Corinne is recording all brand new videos as we speak. And so it's just going to be amazing. Oh my gosh. To give you a little sneak peek, it's going to be divided into four phases. And the first phase will be all about the basics. The second phase will be all about thought work, right? It's going to be called Thinking Thin, I think. The third phase is all about overeating. And then the fourth phase is all about maintenance. And so I'm just super excited about having a phase or some lessons totally focused on maintenance. That's super exciting. But it's just going to be next level stuff. I mean, just all the basics like we've always had. But just, you know, Corinne is teaching it at an all new, you know, just next level. It's going to be awesome. So look forward to that. And then as along with that, you all probably know that we are going to be opening our membership again, and opening the tribe again for all the new folks who want to join, starting towards the end of December. Actually, December 29th is when we open, and we'll be open for 4 or 5 days, into the new year. And so with that, starting on January 1st, we are going to do what we are calling the first 60 days. And so with all of our new members that join, and plus all of you all that are here, we are going to go on a journey for 60 days, totally focused on weight loss for the first 60 days of 2020. And so there are going to be little tidbits every day about, you know, different things that you can do for the first 60 days. It's going to all be focused on weight loss, on the no BS, and it's just going to be awesome. So look for that first 60 days. Everything is always in your Massive Action Line newsletter, right? Your email that you get every Sunday at noon, I do believe, because it's right before Corinne coaches. And so all the information will be in there in a few weeks when we start ramping up. Opening the tribe again, and then getting started with the new No BS. So we're all going to be going through it together again, or not again, because it's all brand new stuff. So I'm just super excited about that. Okay. So, ooh, all kinds of folks here: Alaska, California, Oregon, Michigan, Kansas City. I don't know if you're Missouri or Kansas. Rhonda, my friend Rhonda's in Macon, Georgia, Tahoe, Pennsylvania. I'm telling you what, we've got like all the states represented. Love it. Oh, Norway. Can I come to Norway and visit? Texas, Massachusetts, Virginia. Y'all, it's just crazy how much we, I swear, I think we have like most states represented here. That's awesome. Okay, so I've got Carolyn and Brittany lined up for coaching. I want the rest of you all, come on, this is your chance. Raise your hand. Let's talk about handling the holidays. Let's talk about the gift of fat. we started that this week in December. We're going to gift Corinne all kinds of fat this month, right, for Christmas or for the holidays. And great, Sam, you are up third, so we will go ahead and get started. So anything y'all want to get coached on, let's do this. All right, Carolyn, you are up first. Hello.
Hey there. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? What's going on?
So I had a learning experience Wednesday and Thursday of last week that I need your help on.
Okay. Let me know. I love learning experiences.
I had a binge on both days.
Mm-hmm.
I narrowed it down to, it was, I chose to do it in reaction to my thoughts about my father-in-law.
Okay.
So you and I, we've coached my father-in-law before, and I have a manual a foot high on him.
Yes.
That I've been working on. And for some reason, I can't figure out why, my toddler brain just took the wheel and drove for those 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So in reflecting, I'm trying to figure out if I need to change my thoughts, which probably is part of it, but also set boundaries. I can't figure out the difference where I should set the boundaries or change my thoughts.
Okay. So why do you think you should, set boundaries?
So I'm going to give you the situation.
Okay.
We had invited him to Thanksgiving 4 weeks ago, to my mom's Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We called him once a week to check in to see if he had made a plan. He had not, which is very typical of him.
Mm-hmm.
We figured by Tuesday night, he wasn't coming to ours and it was safe to plan that way. Wednesday night at 9 o'clock at night, he called and goes, "Oh, I'm coming to yours." And my brain just went into rage mode. Just, oh my God. All the thoughts just came flying.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized in my attempt to try to not hurt my husband with my thoughts and my words, I started putting food on top of it.
Right. And, but you know, you can't hurt him with your words or your thoughts or anything, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Model. Well, I was trying not to be uber bitch because I knew that wasn't a good place for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I eventually accepted it. And I think what irritated me is he didn't apologize. He didn't offer to bring anything. He didn't apologize to my mom. He shows up, didn't bring anything. And then we ate. There was 20 people there. There wasn't enough leftovers for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pulling everything off the table. And he goes, "Well, don't I get a leftover plate?" And I'm like, "Okay." And I start boxing it up. And we go about our evening. He goes to leave. And he hooks the front of his Dodge Ram on a fire hydrant.
Okay.
We eventually lift him off and he drives away. He's all upset, which is fine and all. But the next day he calls me. He goes, "Why didn't you call to check on me?" And I'm like, "Well, I saw, you are fine. Your car's not fine, but you are fine."
Mm-hmm.
And he got all upset and he goes, "Well, why didn't you come to my family's thing today?" I'm like, "I didn't know about it." And it's just.
So it sounds like you've got a manual for him. He's got a manual for you.
Correct. So I don't, so many TDLs have gone through the past couple days. And the one thing I've come to a conclusion is I want to set the boundary of, for holidays, I'd like 48 hours notice.
Okay, so let's go back. Let's talk about boundaries here real quick. So, and boundaries are all explained in the Mastering Relationships course.
And I've taken that.
Okay. And basically, you set a boundary when you are either being physically or emotionally violated.
Yeah, I don't think I am for either of those.
I don't think you are either. I think you just want him to follow your manual. And it's up to you. I mean, and he may not, right? I mean, he has kind of a history of not you. I mean, you have, here's the thing. Okay. Let's say you give him 48 hours, you know, you have to give me 48 hours notice. What if he doesn't?
Then I'm telling him I'm not to attend.
Yeah.
That was what I discussed with my husband.
And you could, you know, you could have done that this year too for Thanksgiving, right?
I'm struggling with the thoughts of that's rude and cruel to exclude him on a holiday, which I know is my choice, but my brain is screaming at me that it's not the right thing to do.
So, I mean, so Yeah. So you, I mean, you did what you thought was the right thing to do, right?
Yeah. I found myself enjoying my holiday less though. So I don't know how to balance that, or I know I need to change my thoughts around it.
Yeah.
But I haven't figured out quite how to do it.
Okay. So let's just kind of do this real quick here. So, father-in-law came to Thanksgiving. And, you know, and all the stuff he said, did all that stuff, right? And so you said a minute ago, your thoughts went all over the place, right? And you ended up overeating, you know, and this is, he called at the last minute and said that he was coming. He asked for a leftover plate. He called the next day and, you know, he did this thing with the car, all that, right? That's all part of this, all part of the, just the circumstance. So what did you make all that mean? What did you make all that mean?
About, I think,
you? Let's just focus on you.
I mean, it mean that he didn't respect me.
Okay.
Which I think I need to work on that.
So he doesn't respect me. And I would to again kind of turn that onto yourself. What do you make that mean about you? When you made the decision, I mean, maybe you and your husband together made the decision to allow him to come, right, at the last minute, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when he said he was coming. And so there may be a thought in there like you're not respecting yourself or your own decisions.
I think where my brain went, and it wasn't about me, but it was more that my husband didn't respect me enough to stand up to him.
Okay.
And I know that's not me, but I think that was a thought that flew through my head as my husband didn't check his father.
Okay. So let's go there. But what do you make that mean if your husband doesn't respect you?
I think where my brain went with it that he values his father's approval over mine.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to keep erasing here, but it's like we're peeling back the layers, right? We're peeling back, yes, one layer after another layer, right? And this is kind of what all of you all can do as you're journaling. You can just say, okay, if your thought is about someone else, just keep asking, what do I make that mean about me? What do I make that mean that, that he values? Basically, he doesn't value you as much as he does his father.
Yes. That's,
is that it?
That's where it came from. And I think I went to, like, the feeling was upset and angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I went there because he only talks to his father around the holidays. Mm-hmm. So that, I guess to me, if he values his father that much, I guess I expected it to be all year round. Mm-hmm. And that's where I struggled with the thoughts, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But it just, you know, it's, I mean, you know, again, it's, we could have this as really, it's almost like your circumstance is that your husband allowed him to come. You know, your husband said yes, right, to his father coming, right?
Yes.
And so that's really the circumstance that we want to work on. Your thoughts around that. Because, you know, it's because this is focused on your husband here. So, he made a decision, right? He just made a decision that, okay, this is the holidays. I'm going to let him come. Right. It was just a choice he made, right?
Very accurate. Yes.
Yeah. So, but you're making, I mean, no matter what time of year it is, you're still making it mean that he doesn't value you as much as his father.
Yes. Okay. And hearing that out loud feels asinine now.
Okay. Why? Tell me.
We're both family. We're probably equal in his brain.
Yeah, I mean, think about, you know, kind of put yourself in your husband's shoes. Do you think he is thinking, oh, my father is much more important than my wife?
No, he's,
you know, he's probably just trying to please everyone, right?
Yes. He's trying very much a people pleaser.
Yeah, just trying to, you know, not rock the boat and all that. He's just doing the best he can.
Yeah.
Right? But it's so interesting that you kind of make it mean something about you.
Yes, very true.
Right? Like, I mean, just because something isn't, you know, something isn't happening the way that you wanted it to or the way that you would like it to. And so, you know, it's like you're kind of mad and irritated about that. And so you're looking to blame someone else. When it's really like you just don't have your mind, you know, your thoughts in check about, you know, the holidays and how you wanted it to go and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, and from what we've talked about before, you know, this is not uncommon for him to just show up at the last minute, right?
No, it's not. He's a very,
he's being consistent with how he usually is. So it's very almost true. Like, okay, I'm, you know, you could just assume he's always going to show up at the last minute, right? And then you won't be surprised every time.
But accurate, but how do I plan for that? So like we ended up having to rip apart the table to find another place for him because we were full. We barely had enough food. It's like, how do you handle that portion of it?
You could literally like say, you know, well, we always need to make a little bit more food. Because dad might show up and, you know, let's just go ahead and set a place for dad because he'll probably show up at the last minute. I mean, it could even just be like a funny family tradition or something, right? Where it's just like, I mean, it's when you can get out of, you know, the drama of it, it's just like, okay, you know, he does this. So let's just go ahead and just plan another serving. We're not talking about a ton of food, right? Yeah. And it's just, let's just plan for it. And this is just him. This is who he is. And he's probably not going to change at this point.
Very true.
Yeah.
I guess my only other question is so, this is going to sound a little funny. Okay. My mom has the same manual for him that I do. And we kind of fed off each other.
Yeah. On this one.
I think she was more upset than I was though.
I bet you did. Like, yeah, y'all probably swapped all kinds of stories and it probably just escalated your feelings even more, right? Escalated your anger. And, you know, you may have even, you know, ended up overeating more just because you were so kind of highly, you know, emotional because, yeah, I mean, you can definitely feed off of each other for sure. Totally normal.
How would you have, I haven't figured out how to check my toddler brain in this situation in the middle. How do I check that in the middle of it all? Just like literally, it's just like, she's just like, I'm driving.
I think for you, it's when you kind of feel out of control and it feels like it's just, you know, you're kind of taken over, then it's some sort of pattern interrupt where it's like, when you feel that coming on, it's like, okay, I need to get away from all these people, from your mom, you know, from everybody, and just kind of interrupt your normal pattern of just escalating, right, with your emotions. And so, you know, leave the room, go to the bathroom, you know, work on some thoughts that you can practice and have them on your phone or on a piece of paper, that you just go somewhere where you can be by yourself for a minute and just remind yourself, okay, this is what I'm choosing to think about today. But also ahead of time, again, with any of these holidays, you can come up with some obstacles and strategies where it's like, okay, if my mom says this, this is going to be my response. You know, and to not let her kind of, you know, feed off, you know, y'all feed off of each other, where it's just like, mom, you know, you can think that, but I'm just going to enjoy the day or whatever it is. Right. I mean, you know, just whatever kind of responses, so that you're not engaging with her and letting that emotion escalate. So it's all just kind of like little hacks that you can try where it's just, okay, I'm just going to go outside, maybe get some fresh air, take some deep breaths, remind myself, you know, of my thoughts that I want to practice on my phone or whatever it is, you know, and get your husband involved. Like, you know, hey, I'm going to, you know, I may find myself kind of getting this way today. I want you to, you know, support me if, you know, if he's willing to do that.
Well, you're going to laugh, Betsy. He's been TDLing and modeling himself.
So y'all could kind of, you know, you could support each other, right?
Yeah. He's praying the king does a P&P for men.
Okay. There's always a chance. I don't know though, but yeah, it's just, you know, you don't want to depend on him to make you feel better, right? Because he can't do that.
Correct. Correct.
But it's always like, you know, I mean, he's, you know, y'all know each other best. And you know, if you're, you know, it's like, okay, if I start feeling this way, can I come to you and you can remind me what I need to be thinking, right? And we, you know, you can do that for each other. Yeah. And just remind yourself, just kind of get out of that common, you know, habit of just, you know, going off the rails, getting the toddler brain, you know, in charge, and just taking the wheel back again.
So. Thank you, Betsy. You're always very helpful.
Okay. Well, you do some journaling. You know, Christmas is coming, right? So you got plenty of more opportunities to practice all this stuff.
Oh, I know. Yes. We've already, there's like, I think 7 or 8 models in my journal right now already on this.
Okay. Oh, well, great. All kinds of opportunities to practice. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Okay. Have a good day.
Bye. Okay. Oh, the holidays. Always a great opportunity to practice all this thought work that we're learning about. Okay. Ooh, there's a bunch of Q&A. Let me see. Okay. There's a bunch of Q&A, so I'll answer those too later. Oh, and there's some questions in the chat too, so I'll get to those in a little while. Okay, Brittany, Sam, and Melissa are up. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
It's so nice to talk to you. I'm good. How are you?
Yes, good, good. What's going on?
So I joined the tribe in September. And I can't seem to follow a dang plan for the life of me. I mean, okay. Maybe like 7 in a month. And I make super realistic plans. I did the list of 15 reasons why I think I'm eating off plan. And it's dumb stuff. Like my plan will say pepperoni and I'll just have like a toddler brain and be like, nope, I want cheese. It's like, if I can't be 100% perfect, then I'm out completely. If I don't eat exactly 2 to 2, exactly what's on my plan, like I don't do any of it. And I've only lost 5 pounds since joining and I'm just frustrated. I don't know why I can't seem to follow a stupid plan.
Okay. So first off, I hear just in the short time you've been talking, I hear like some words like stupid and dumb and like ridiculous or whatever it is, right? I hear a lot of judgment in your voice about just beating yourself up.
Right.
Just making noise. And okay, it's this paper. Sorry. Like, is there something? Is there an animal in here? Okay. So I want you to really watch that where it's like, I mean, I can just hear the self-judgment where you're like, I should have this figured out already. And you know, I'm messed up, I'm broken and all that kind of stuff. So I really want you to just kind of be aware of that and just know that until you kind of work on that level of judgment. I was talking to somebody else about this today. Coach Kathy kind of calls it like a layer of tar on top of like what you're already working on, like following your plans. And then if you have this layer of like judgment on top of that, like I'll never figure this out, or, you know, I should have figured it out already and that kind of stuff, then it's just hard to peel that off. You know, you got to get that off first before you even focus on following the plans. And so for you, it's just a matter of journaling and saying, okay, when I start hearing myself kind of beating myself up, what do I want to tell myself? And what has worked for you in the past to kind of just like get yourself out of that judgment place?
I don't know. I'm a pretty big self-judger about everything, I guess. Yeah. And I thought I had worked through that on the plan. Mm-hmm. When I do the recovery worksheet, the last question, you know, is, are you ready to let go of judgment? And I would say, yeah, I don't feel like I'm judging myself until mm-hmm. I was talking to you and realized how frustrated I am at myself for not doing it. But I've done TDLs, I've done models, and, you know, I've made all the strategies, and I feel like I'm doing everything and still not getting it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think for you, just to start off, because we'll talk about, you know, plans and stuff here in a minute, but I think it's something like for you, I'm just going to say the 24-hour plan. What I want your thought to be about it, because, you know, you told me your current thoughts, right? Where it's like, it's got to be perfect or I just don't do it and all this kind of stuff. It's just got to be something like, I'm figuring it out. And figuring it out, I think that kind of language really helps you kind of just like, you're always going to be figuring it out. I mean, I'm four or five years into this and I'm still figuring it out, right? It's like, there's not a time in the future, a day or whatever it is, where it's just, oh, you know, this is figured out forever. And so it's just like, this is an ongoing thing, but it's also just kind of a little like kind of compassionate voice, right? Where just, okay, we're just figuring this out. You know, and we're always going to be figuring it out, but we're just figuring it out. And right now you're in this awareness phase. You know exactly what's happening, mm-hmm. where you're just, your toddler brain, you're kind of rebelling, you know, you don't want, but I think a lot of that comes from that self-judgment where it's like, I have to be perfect or I'm failing, basically. And so for you, and so now we're kind of down the action line here, kind of doing a model for you gradually where, okay, so you can, I mean, it sounds to me like you've been doing your plans and you've just been doing your recovery worksheets every time you go off plan. Is that right?
Yes. Well, not every time. I'm a little lazy about the recovery.
Okay. Well, that's number one, is that I want you to, every single time you do a recovery worksheet, you go off plan, you got to do a recovery worksheet. Because here's the deal, you're going to get tired of doing those recovery worksheets. And so that's going to work on kind of overriding this toddler brain, because your toddler brain's going to start whining about having to do a recovery worksheet instead of about following the plan. So that's number one, is like, okay, no matter what, if I go off the plan, I've got to do a recovery worksheet. I've got you, and you got to do the big one, the two pager. Because, and actually with the new No BS, we're just going to have one now, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good. And I'm actually working on editing it right now. And so, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be an amazing learning experience. But again, your brain is going to be like, okay, we don't want to have to do this again. Right. And 'cause you're going to start seeing the same things over, you know, you're not going to want to have to write the same thing over again in the recovery worksheet and all that. So that's number one. So that's non-negotiable. You okay. do a recovery worksheet if you go off plan. And then the next thing, in kind of in combination with that, and that's kind of, this is where you're kind of figuring out, right? This is not a perfect system. This is kind of a messy system. And I like to call myself a recovering perfectionist, where, you know, I want things to be neat and tidy and perfect, but this whole weight loss thing is not that way. And that's okay, because that means that we can make mistakes and we don't have to be perfect to lose weight. And so while you're doing recovery worksheets, it's also a matter of allowing those urges to eat the pepperoni instead of the cheese or whatever. And say, okay, I know my brain wants to just rebel, but I am going to allow this urge. So do you know very much about allowing urges?
Yeah, I just did the deep dive on buffering and urges. Yeah.
And you know how that works? It feels like ass, yeah. right? Yeah. But it all feels like ass, right? I mean, this is not a search for the easy way or the comfortable way to weight loss, right? And I think a lot of times with a lot of things in our life, we're looking for that ease, right? We're looking for the easy way, the comfortable way. But no, it all feels like ass. So it's like, I mean, but being overweight feels like ass. And so it's like, choose which one you want. And, but the good news with allowing urges is that the more that you do it, the less like ass it feels, because you start building evidence that you can do it. And it just, and that you survive and, you come out the other side and you're okay. And it was uncomfortable for a little while, but you know that you can do it. So that's kind of where you are. I mean, and that's where we all are basically, is just where, whether we've lost all of our weight, whether we're first starting, whether we're in the middle of our weight loss journey, we're either allowing urges or we're doing recovery worksheets. And it's always a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Right.
And as you say that, that makes total sense, because I've always done Weight Watchers or calories, and it's mathematic. It's clean. You're over points, you're under points, you're over, so it is black and white, but it allows for a lot more emotions. And I just want things to be neat and tidy and right. To be able to check a box.
I'm just getting chills while you're talking, because it was like, I did Weight Watchers for years. And it was always that, well, I went over my points. I'm a failure. I didn't do it right, or whatever it is. And the beauty of our program is that, yes, we have these four basics that you either check off or you don't, but yes, like we allow for this. I mean, it's never this, like, even if you have an overeat and you do a recovery worksheet, that doesn't mean you've done it wrong. Mm-hmm. Because overeating and doing recovery worksheets is a required part of this process. The goal is never to not ever have to do a recovery worksheet again. I mean, if you can never overeat again, great, but I don't know anybody, who does that. And so it's like, what if all of this was just okay? What if it was just all part of the process and we never had to beat ourselves up? We were either, winning, we're either following the plan, or we're learning and doing a recovery worksheet.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So it's just kind of embrace the messiness, right? Embrace the imperfection. And I will tell you that when you do it in this part of your life, it starts, it starts to kind of bleed over into other parts, right? Where, I know with the work that I do, I realize that I can't do it, perfectly, but I know that I can still be successful, right? And I, so it's just so interesting when you kind of accept the messiness in this part, then you can realize that, all of life is a messy process.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is a good call. All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. See ya. Bye. All right. I'm just going to call it messy on my notes. Yes, Janine. Nothing wrong with those recovery worksheets. I swear. They get a bad rap. Stacy? I mean, do you want to lose weight or not? If you want to lose weight with PNP, you got to do recovery worksheets. That's just the simple thing. So you must not want to lose weight as bad as you think you do if you're not willing to do recovery worksheets. That's just the bottom line. So, okay, Sam, we got Sam and Melissa, and then I'll answer some questions. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I am good. Okay. I was on the call on Monday, and they insisted that I come back for more.
Okay.
I've never really put myself first. So I'm still kind of struggling with that. Mm-hmm. And the feeling of when I overeat or off plan eat, I always get like this, who cares? Because mm-hmm. I'm always taking care of everyone and no one's taking care of me. So I don't know. There was just a lot of stuff I wanted to go over on Monday, but it's always so hard when you listen to everybody and it's like kind of hitting home. But at the same time, it's not like the recovery worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I stopped doing those because I kept on running down the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that never went anywhere.
But that's, I mean, that's part of the point, is that you are writing down the same thing and you're seeing the patterns, right? Part of it is to see the patterns and say, okay, I'm writing this down over and over again. Maybe this is something that I need to work on, right? Maybe this is a thought that I need to work on changing and things like that. So that's part of it. And, but I think for you, I mean, I want to go back to what you said about, you know, you're not putting yourself first, but you're in this awareness phase that you're not putting yourself first, right? Which is a great,
yes,
a great place to be and a great win. So I want you to give yourself credit for that. But I also heard you say, you know, no one is taking care of you. You're taking care of everyone else. But whose responsibility is it to take care of you?
It's mine.
It's yours.
It's just so stressful, you know, because it's, you know, then you have to prioritize, well, kids first or me first.
And yeah.
I mean, I have my own two, and then I have a bunch of foster kids that come and go. So I could have anywhere from 2 kids to 8 kids in my house. Yeah. And it's just,
all choices, right? All choices that you've made, right? Based on your priorities and that you have chosen in your life. Yeah. And so it's all about, you know, not seeing yourself as a victim to your own choices. Right? You have chosen to do an amazing thing, raise kids, right? You know, and take care of foster kids. And so just taking ownership of that. And then once you kind of move into that ownership and move out of kind of the, you know, the resistance of that, then your brain starts to open up like, okay, I'm choosing all of this, right? So how could I, you know, choose me too, you know, how could I put myself in here too?
I've done some TDLs on that, done some thought work, but I can't, it doesn't go anywhere, and I think I know why, but it's just not something I want to bring up again.
So why do you, when you say it doesn't go anywhere, what are you really mean by that? What does that look like for it to not go anywhere?
I just give up again.
Yeah. Right. It's like your, you know, thought work and stuff is not just a, you know, a kind of do a TDL and model and it's, you know, it clicks, right? It's just an ongoing practice of, you know, being aware of your thoughts, practicing the new thoughts, redirecting your brain over and over and over again. That's how it goes somewhere, right? Is you working on it all the time. I mean, Corinne talks about like, you got to redirect your brain like thousands of times for things to really keep working.
How do you get past how do you get past it? I used to be in the best shape of my life. I think it was about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My husband cheated on me and I stopped caring about myself because he didn't care about me and focused on caring for the kids. And I'm finding myself when I'm working out again, that kind of like, we're past it. We're over it. But at the same time, when I do certain things, it brings it back up and I don't want to do it anymore. Like I'll go on a workout streak and then I'll stop, even though I fully enjoy it and I see results. But then that emotion part comes to it, or, you know, he's not the same man and he doesn't care. Like I'll say, hey, I'm doing this. I'm only eating this tomorrow. So he brings me my favorite ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's permanent, like, you know, trying to mess me up on purpose.
That's your thought, right? That's your thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. He's trying to mess me up, right? But I don't know why he's bringing you ice cream, and it doesn't matter, right? Because you get to decide, okay. I mean, he can do whatever he wants, right? He can say whatever he wants, and you always get to decide. I mean, that's in the C line, right? That he brought you ice cream.
Okay.
And you know, right now you're thinking, he's trying to mess me up. He's trying to sabotage me or whatever it is. But
wow, that was sweet. He's actually trying.
Yeah.
So then I eat it. So he keeps trying. But then you have that thought in the back of your mind of, well, is he trying to be nice? Even though I told him that I was, you know, I set a goal and I feel like more like he's sabotaging than caring for me.
But you chose to eat it, right? You didn't have to eat it.
Yeah.
You could have just said, oh my gosh, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you. But I'm just not eating ice cream right now. So, I mean, I'll put it in the freezer and I'll save it for the kids or whatever. But, you know, and he gets to have his, whatever, you know, his opinion on that. But you're showing up for you. You're taking care of you in that situation. You're putting yourself first in that situation. Because right now you're still putting him first and thinking that you can control his emotions by eating his ice cream that he brings you.
So then when the thing that does pop into my head, and then that just leads to stress and overthinking, because I overthink everything.
Mm-hmm.
So then I eat it because then I feel more like I should eat it. Maybe I'm stress eating, and I stress eat a lot with the foster kids. I have some with some special needs or, mm-hmm. you know, mental breakdowns, and I have no control, and legally I can't do much of anything besides, you know, let him just cry it out, but he'll go on spills for almost 3 hours straight and he's 10.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
you know, another, so then that leads to stress eating.
Right. I mean, that's another circumstance of, you know, the behavior of your children, and you get to control the rest of the model, right? You get to decide how you want to show up with that. Because right now you're thinking something like, I can't handle it, or this is too much, or whatever it is. And that's what's resulting in you overeating. But you can always change your thoughts and say, you know what? I chose this. I am the person that can handle this, because I love these kids and I'm going to love them through anything. I'm here to help them as much as I can.
So then how do I get my thought work down?
You got to just keep practicing that thought, you know? And then also you don't overeat. Right. And even if you're just working on believing that you can handle it, right, you still don't overeat, and it proves that thought true. Like after you do that a few times, it's going to feel, you know, really crappy, you know, none of this is, you know, is taking an easy way out, but it's like, oh, maybe I can handle this without food. Right. You got to prove that to yourself a few times. And then maybe I chose to take care of these kids and I can do this without food. But you got to, again, kind of prove that to yourself by not doing it.
I've tried to find different ways to relax myself to be able to help him more.
Mm-hmm.
But like occasionally I've called my mom. She's been foster caring for mm-hmm. 10 plus years. 15 plus years, and she's able to help me out, but I can't call her every single time, and I don't want to eat,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, exercising is great for de-stressing, but I can't necessarily work out every single time he has an issue.
So what
I don't
about
know
this feeling
what
the stress?
Else to do.
What about feeling the stress?
That always just leads to eating. It feels like if I have to replace eating with something to help manage that.
Yeah, that's what you've always done, right? That's just your habit that you've developed. But you can absolutely just feel the stress and not eat. Because when you're eating, you're trying to cover up the stress, right? You're trying to buffer your emotions. But you can feeling that stress is not going to kill you, right?
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like you've got to prove to yourself that you can feel the stress when your kids are, you know, are behaving in a certain way. And then maybe eventually you might want to change your thoughts that create the stress. But first, you've just got to prove to yourself that you can feel anything and you don't have to eat over it.
Okay, so change my thoughts, more of a positive outlook.
Let's just do the model on your kid's behavior. So what is it again? What's going on?
Well, with this particular child, anything that is off routine or he doesn't want to do something, mm-hmm. he literally will scream out. He doesn't know how to verbalize his frustrations or his, so he just screams and he screams and it's loud and my kids can't stand it. And his little brother will start crying because he's screaming so loud that he hurts his ears and he has, you know, damaged eardrums. And just everybody's upset wanting him to stop and it's on me to get him to stop.
Do you see?
And I can't get him to stop.
Do you ever compare yourself with him? He screams because he can't express his emotions and you eat because you can't express your emotions. It's the same thing. He is dealing with his emotions in one way. You're dealing with your emotions in another way, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So what do you do with him when he just needs to scream? Or what do you do with him when he screams?
I used to let him go, but then he would just scream. Like I said, his max was like 3 hours straight. At bedtime, I'll lay with him and hum or sing a little tune and he calms down. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah. He hasn't been with me the longest time and everything changes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I try to soothe him, but I can't soothe him if I'm all worked up and stressed. So
I mean, it's almost like you've got to soothe yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, and you could almost soothe yourself while you're soothing him. It's like you both need that soothing so that he doesn't scream and so that you don't eat. Y'all could really like work on this together. Do you see it as the same? Do you see it as similar?
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out how I can, we can soothe each other at the same time or me soothe both of us at the same time.
Yeah.
If I can't, if I don't want to, because I don't want to, you know, get close enough to him to where he's going to hurt my ears, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the phone call to my mom or, mm-hmm. you know, grab a granola bar and just.
But how does a granola bar help?
I did have the answer to that question before I was trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
but it's just,
I mean, it may give you like a very temporary kind of hit, right? But then it never lasts.
It doesn't, but it's that you know, that short period of time where it's like, okay, I'm calmed down. I've had my break. Now I can go. And then I'm able to, you know, like lay down with him for a second.
But there's definitely other ways you could take a break, right?
Right. I just have to figure out how, because like I said, I can't call my mom every single time.
Yeah.
And I mean, not everyone knows what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go exercise and leave him up here by himself. You know, I've got to find something else. And I don't.
What about
not always
like,
the easiest thing.
I mean, when you're eating a granola bar, you're probably standing in your kitchen or something, right? Couldn't you go
just
stand in your kitchen or stand in another room and just maybe do some deep breathing or just do nothing for a second? Because it's not the eating, it's not the granola bar, right, that's doing it. That's just the habit that you've developed. What you're doing is you're changing your thoughts in that moment. You're like, you're changing your thoughts into something like, I'm figuring this out. You said that earlier. You know, I'm figuring this out. So you could go somewhere and just, you know, practice that thought. Because even when you call your mom, that's what's happening. Is that, you know, your mom might give you some ideas or something, but you don't need your mom. You know what to do. But you calling your mom puts you in a place where you're thinking, okay, I'll figure this out. You know, we'll figure this out. And you figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's what's happening. And so right now, you're thinking that the overeating is doing it, but it's really your thoughts. You're changing your thoughts in that moment.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to do that with the food. You can do it just with, again, you know, breathing, just reminding yourself, you know, having your thoughts right there that you can practice. And just talking to yourself and saying, okay, we'll figure this out. I need a break for a minute and then we'll figure it out. But you gotta practice that, right? You gotta try it.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not gonna feel amazing at first because you're doing something new, you're trying something new. But it's just like I said, you just gotta do it. You may not be buying it right now from me, but just trust me, it works. It works. And the first time you do it without the food and you realize that you don't need the food to calm down. I mean, that's just a game changer, because you've got that evidence now that you always change things through your thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. I just had to figure out how to get my thoughts going.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole positive, because again, that's something that I know I had before.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be that annoying positive person. Mm-hmm. I kind of went away a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to find myself again.
Yeah. You have evidence that you know you can do that, but it's just, you know, when this happens and you hear your thoughts going into the deuter, right, where it's just, oh, this is so hard, and you know, it's so loud and all this kind of stuff, that's when, you know, you separate yourself for a second and say, no, we're going to figure this out, you know, I'm or whatever it is. I want you to do some journaling and really come up with thoughts that will work for you and that you can believe.
Okay.
And also with this feeling line, like, how do you want to feel when he's screaming?
In control. Yeah.
And that in control doesn't necessarily mean that you control his, you know, you can't control his behavior, right?
Right.
You're in control of you, right?
Right. I can handle this.
Showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's all you can control ever, right? Can't control your, you know, your husband or him or anything. You know, it's just, you get to always decide how you want to show up. And so, yeah, so it's like, okay, I'm figuring this out. You're in control. So you know, take a break. You know, call your mom if you're able to, or, you know, and other things. And then, you know, you lay with him and all the things that you've been doing. And then the result is that you figure this out just one day at a time. And like I was saying with Brittany, you know, this whole figuring it out, I mean, it doesn't mean that it's going to ever end, right? But you're just managing it every day without having to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when I go and I do this stress eat while I'm trying to figure this out,
mm-hmm.
How do I wrap then my thoughts around the fact that, oh crap, I was already off plan. Mm-hmm. So why not just continue? Because I obviously can't, I don't have it today. Like I've done that a lot, especially last month.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing the habit trackers, and I find myself, once I forgot what was on my plan or I had that stress eat, even if it was just a tiny little bite of a chocolate bar,
mm-hmm.
I just, oh, well, yeah, I just messed up and my habit tracker already has a big old X on it. So
right.
Why not just keep going?
And when you, that's a question, you're asking yourself a question, right? Why not just keep going? Why not? Or why should you keep going in terms of just eating more? I mean, answer your own question.
Well, why not? Because I'm still fighting for Queen's Club. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, groupie since the end of January, tribe member since mm-hmm. June, and I'm still not there because the last 3-4 months I've just kind of stayed put in maintenance, and I've gained the same 8 pounds and lost it and gained it and lost it, and it just comes back.
But I want you to focus on, I mean, you're focusing on like what you haven't done, right? And what you're, I want you to focus on, okay, I'm not going to keep eating today because I want this. This is what I want for my life, right? And I want you to, you know, have that all written out. You know, that's all about your compelling reason, right? It's like, okay, I want to get to Queen's Club and I'm, you know, I'm close or whatever it is. I want to have, you know, to feel better in my body or all these different things, all your compelling reasons to lose weight. Not what you haven't done, but what you want.
Okay.
And then, you know, and we always say you're one choice away from getting right back on. And, you know, your brain wants to find reasons to keep overeating. I mean, that's totally normal. So everything that's happening with you is totally normal. But what we've got to do is override, you know, our brain and say, I know you want to just keep eating for the rest of the day, but we're not doing that. And then another thing you can do is, you know, like you already got to do one recovery worksheet for the, you know, the overeat that you had. And it's like, okay, if I keep eating, I got to do another recovery worksheet.
Yes.
And
I have been doing those for the first time in a long time this mm-hmm. month. So
good.
This good month, I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's good that you keep writing the same stuff on them, but then you're going to get to where you don't want to keep writing the same stuff. And so it's like they serve, you know, kind of a dual purpose, like that you learn from them and then it gets to where it's like, you don't want to have to fill them out anymore. And so it's like they serve you in all kinds of different ways. And, but yeah, it's just like when you make those non-negotiable, you either are going to learn from them or you're going to stay on plan because you don't want to do them. So they're just, if you can have those as part of, you know, a non-negotiable part of your weight loss, then they will serve you in a lot of different ways. So yeah, so you've got some, you know, some work to do in terms of really coming up with thoughts on how you want to show up with, you know, with this circumstance, but then also how you want to show up after, and, you know, you've already had an overeat. And really think about mm-hmm. those, because I mean, what it is just, you're just thinking, oh, well, screw the day, or, you know, yeah. Let's just eat everything. And that's your thought that is not working for you. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
So it's reminding yourself of why you want to stop eating, no matter what time of the day it is or whatever. So just reminding yourself of why you want to do all this, why you want to put yourself first now, why you want to go, you know, get back to where you were, you know, several years ago, and that kind of stuff in terms of, you know, being a new person, not being that old person, but you know that yeah. you can do that. You know that you can achieve all of that again. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. This is good. Talk to you later.
Yes.
Take care. Right.
Bye.
All right. Okay. Melissa. Oh, we're talking about weighted blankets and all kinds of stuff in the chat. I love y'all supporting each other.
Hello.
Hello. Are you there?
Yes. Can you see me?
I can see you. Okay. Let me ask you to start your video here.
There we go.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I have to make a decision.
Okay. Let's make a decision tonight. Let's do it.
Can we make it?
Yes.
Well, I thought I had done a lot of work around it, but I've actually been doing a little bit of eating, I think, over it. Okay. That I discovered from recovery worksheets. Mm-hmm. So I have done some work. Like I've accepted that there is no right decision and that whatever decision I make, I'm going to make the best of. Mm-hmm. I know that either one will be good, but they're very significant in my life. So the situation is I have my boyfriend, might as well be married. We've been together for almost 8 years. And he's very successful in his work. And ever since I've known him, he works on movies. So he's had to go for 3 months or so away to shoot this movie. And he's been sort of, you know, growing and gaining, you know, momentum and getting promoted. And this last year, he had to go to London for 6 months. And now he's working up north from me for the remaining part of the year. Mm-hmm. So I only had, I think, 3 months with him this year. Now, the flip side is I run my own small business, and it's here. I live in Los Angeles, so it's all located here. Mm-hmm. So at the start of this year, we decided not to close the business because we didn't know what was going to happen after this movie that he was going away for, and I wanted to kind of work on it, and we were just seeing how it would go, but it was kind of miserable. I don't love being away from him for so long. And now he's getting recruited by another company, and it means he'll be gone for at least 3 months next year again, and potentially more. Last year, we thought this one was going to be 3 months, and then it turned into 6 months. So it could easily do that. So yes.
So the decision is to what? To what or what?
The decision is to keep the business and then stay at home. I mean, I can go visit him, but mm-hmm. stay at home when he takes this position. It's not 100%, but whatever position he takes, it will be like this. Or close the business and find something for me, something new or a remote position or something else, which I'm very open to, but it's very fraught for me. I've spent a long time. Yeah, there's my thought. Is that my thought? I tried to get a model and I was like, I don't know.
It's very fraught. I don't even know how to spell fraught. F-R-A-U-G-H-T?
I think that's
very
it.
Fraught.
Like freak.
But when you first came on, you said, but it's so significant.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that is my thought. It does feel like that to me.
Yeah. So how does that
because
feel?
Because I go through a lot of specialized training. I had a mentor. There's just a lot sort of tied up in it for me that I know it isn't true, and I know I shouldn't care what everyone is thinking, but I feel mm-hmm. like I'll be letting everybody down.
I'll be letting everybody down, right? I mean, you've got a big, you know, a big story in here, a lot of thoughts in here about the decision. So how do, but just start, just keeping with these two, because they're pretty similar. How does that feel? How do those thoughts feel when you think it's very fraught, so significant?
I think it almost feels overwhelming.
Yeah. So we're not even, I mean, you know, we're not even talking about making this decision. It's just the decision itself, like, you know, either or, these, you know, these are your thoughts about it. And so overwhelming. And so you're eating.
Yeah.
And then are you procrastinating, delaying on your decision?
I'm definitely, I'm not even engaging in the business the way I normally would because I don't have it in me.
It's okay. Not so, and so you're not engaging in the business. And so the result, this is a real clear model where it's like, it's very fraught. I love that word. I'm going to start using that word more. It's like, when you think that, you think, well, I mean, your brain goes to, oh, okay. It's, if this is fraught, everything needs to be fraught, right? So my weight loss needs to be fraught. My, you know, the business that I currently have needs to be fraught, you know, everything.
Yeah. I'm copying if you're looking.
Everything is fraught. So, you know, your brain is just looking for homeostasis, right? It's looking for things to just be all be the same, all be, you know, okay. And so when you're thinking these thoughts, then you're going to do other things in your life that are just, you know, maintain that same thought, right? And prove that thought true over and over again. So, yeah. So that's kind of the model that's happening now. So for you, it's a matter of, again, we're not even getting, I mean, we're about to get to the point of making the decision. I mean, in the point where you, you know, want to be able to make a decision, but it's like, you first have to get your thoughts, you know, in line about the decision. Because even if you like maybe think you've made a decision, or you make a decision and you're just not, you know, you may end up or think that you made the decision, but then you're kind of going back and forth and questioning it and things like that. So to make a decision, and again, there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. There's just a decision that you make and that you commit to, right? And that you don't, you know, you don't go back on, right? It's done. It's as good as done. So how do you want it? Let's start with the feeling. How do you want to feel to be able to make a decision?
I don't know. That's hard. I wanted to say I want to feel, I don't know if it's right. I guess you said there's no wrong. I want to feel proud of what I've done and okay with closing it, even if it hasn't reached its like full, you know, mm-hmm. potential.
So sounds like maybe you've made the decision. Is that right?
I mean, no, I don't feel like I have. Maybe. Doesn't it sound like it now? I didn't realize.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking like you've made the decision already. And it's almost like those feelings are coming, you know, those feelings come after you've made the decision. But to actually make the decision beforehand, yeah, I almost think those are feelings, you know, after.
Okay, so the feeling about the decision.
About, like, how do you need to feel to make a decision, right? Before you make a decision.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even realize I had done that. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like it isn't life or death, like calm about it and not.
So that's your thought, right? It isn't life or death. Calm.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Calm. What?
I was just going to say that may be enough, but what else?
Yeah, I think it is enough. I mean, I think feeling calm about it will allow me to feel kind of, I don't want to say empowered. I know that word's like overdone.
I like that word. Because you want to feel like you're, you know, like you're in control. Like you're not, you know, you are making this decision. It is up to you.
Yeah, that is part of it. I want to feel like I'm making it, not like I'm being forced to do it.
And you're not thinking about what other people are going to think about it. I mean, or you're accepting right. of, you know, everyone's going to have an opinion, right?
Yeah, I think that is, now that you say it, it's a big part of it, that it's my decision, not.
Yes. Yeah. And that could be, you know, a thought that could really work for you. It's my decision.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what's our result?
The result is you know, it isn't life or death. You don't die.
Die.
And so it is, I'm just going to say L or D, and that you practice, you know, making your own decisions. Like you practice making your own decisions and again, letting other people have, their opinions about it. I think about a decision I had to make recently, and I had to let with my parents. They wanted me to go on this trip. My husband and me to go on this trip with them for their anniversary. And we just, you know, doesn't even matter, but we just decided to say no. And I had to let her feel, you know, my mom, I had to let her feel disappointed, right? I had to let her feel whatever she was going to feel. It was so important for me to make the decision, not based on how she was going to feel, right? It's, you know, it's okay. This is a decision that's best for us. And you just have to let the chips fall where they may with everyone else.
Yeah, it's so funny that it's hard now, because to get into this field in the first place, I had to make a decision that nobody was happy about. Mm-hmm. And I was fine with it. Mm-hmm. But I think I was younger and reckless.
Yeah, so maybe you need to kind of go back to that place a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out pretty well for you.
No, it did. And I think now I do. It's something I've become more aware of through PNP, is like how much I do want to, I don't want to say control, but control how other people are going to feel about things that I say and do.
Yeah. But it's like, it's so interesting to think back then, like when you made that original decision, like what were you thinking? You're probably thinking like, I don't care. This is what I want, right? This is my own decision. I don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it's like you have a history of doing that, right? That's in there somewhere. And those are thoughts that you can bring back out again if you want to. And you're seeing it as reckless, but again, was it really reckless, or was it just, I mean, it was a thought that you practiced again that led to good results for you ultimately?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is maybe your time to go back to that place again and make another decision from that place and believe. And probably back then you just believe that, okay, it's going to work out. You know, when we're young, we practice that thought a lot, even if it doesn't work. But I mean, you know, it may not work out the way we think, but you know, we're okay, right? It's not life or death.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't regret it. Mm-hmm. I may end up changing the direction now, but it was worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. And this can be worth it no matter what, right? No matter what happens, this can all be, it can all be okay.
Yeah, it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I know it will be.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really helpful. I think I've copied it down.
Okay.
But now I have to do the one where I actually make the decision.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted on what you decide eventually. Tag me or something in Facebook, or I don't know, just I'm curious. But yeah, it's just, I mean, when you do make the decision, then that can go up in the sea line, right? It's like, okay, I've made the decision to whatever it is. And then you can get your thoughts, you know,
straight about that,
where it's like, okay, I made the decision. This is what I'm doing. You know, how do you want to think and feel about that decision once it's made? Yeah, that'll be your next model.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. All right. Take care. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay. Let me answer a few questions here. Okay. I was trying to figure out my feeling around my off eats yesterday and whys, but really I just wanted the food and choose it. I wasn't having thoughts or feelings that I was running from, and I found that to be my trend. I also wonder if I'm truly addicted to food. I love the flavors and textures and smells. Need advice with thoughts on what I should do. I want to break this cycle, but not sure how. Okay, let's do a model here real quick on this, because this is very common, right? I think a lot of times what you all are doing is you're looking for, you know, a deep, dark, let me move the Q&A box over here. Let me move it over here. Okay. Y'all are looking for a deep, dark reason for your overeating, right? When a lot of times it is literally, I wanted it. Or I want it. So let's say it's, you know, there's some food that is presented to you, right? I want it. Your feeling is you have an urge. Also, you feel justified. It's like, okay, if I want it, I should have it. And then you overeat. And your result is I eat what I want. It's a very clear, y'all see that, okay? It's a very clear model that is just so, so common, right? You think I want it. You feel the urge to eat it because in the past, when you thought I want it, you've eaten. So your brain is like, well, let's just keep thinking we want it and then we'll get the food. And so it's just this cycle that happens over and over and over again. And so you're not addicted to food. You just have developed this habit that has been practiced and reinforced over and over again. That's all it is. And so for you, it's a matter of working on changing this thought, right? That, you know, it's, you know, and you can start with a laddering thought, like it's okay that I keep thinking that I want it, but it's not going to get me to my goals or something like that. And yeah, you weren't having thoughts or feelings that, well, you were running from a feeling. You're running from the feeling of the urge. You weren't willing to allow the urge or to sit with an urge. So you were running from that feeling for sure. You know, that's the whole deal here is that we've got to allow urges to overeat, to lose weight. Because what we've been doing is giving in to every urge. Because that's what we're used to doing. And that's just a habit we've developed. And so for you, it's a matter of, you know, and you said, I love the flavors and textures and smells. Those are more thoughts. I love the flavors and textures and smells. I want it. That's your thought that but you're not addicted because that's just another thought. And how is that thought going to help you, right? Addicted takes, you know, that thinking you're addicted takes your control out of it. But you can absolutely control what you put into your mouth. And so, you know, thinking you're addicted makes you powerless. And so for you, it's just, okay, I'm working on believing that I don't have to eat every time I think I want it. And then you have to practice that and you have to allow the urge and feel uncomfortable. And that's how you break the cycle. And you get, when you get some wins under your belt and realize that you allowed the urge, you wanted something and you didn't have it and you were okay. You survived, right? I mean, I remember when I was losing my weight and just wanting something so bad. And I just said, no, it's not happening. And I'm just going to allow this. I had an urge last night for more food after I ate dinner. And, you know, I was making plans, going in that kitchen to get something. And then I just said, no, I'm satisfied. But it's easier for me now because I practiced that for so long. Now, it's not a breeze. It still feels like ass a little bit. But it's more doable because I have that evidence that I can do it. Okay, Stacy, once I start doing a number of recovery worksheets, how do I use them to fix my eating off plan? Okay, so Stacy, first off, I want to warn you about the word fix, right? Because that kind of implies that your eating is now broken, which that's what can get you into trouble, right? Thinking that you're broken. No, you're just working on it, right? So that's kind of the first thought I want you to kind of work on is I don't need to be fixed because I'm not broken. I'm just working on my overeating. I'm working on losing some weight. But I'm not something that's broken and needs to be fixed. And so then with your recovery worksheets, like I was talking earlier, you recognize patterns. The same thoughts over and over again, just like the first question, you're probably going to see the same thoughts. That person, if they've been doing a bunch of recovery worksheets, they're going to see, I want it, over and over and over again. They're going to see, I love the flavors and textures and smells. So you start to recognize these patterns. Oh, maybe it's not some deep, dark secret that I'm overeating. Maybe I just think I want it. So just like I was saying, it's like, okay, if I want to not overeat as much, maybe I need to start thinking something different. And that's, you know, there's questions on the recovery worksheet about that, where it's like, okay, if I didn't think I want it, what could I think instead? And so you start practicing some of those thoughts when you have an urge to overeat. And like I said, the recovery worksheet can also kind of serve as a deterrent, right? Because you don't want to have to fill out that dang worksheet again. And so you can learn to allow your urges to overeat. So that's how the recovery worksheet works. It's pretty amazing. Always see the recovery worksheet as a gift. Every single recovery worksheet as a gift to yourself, because it is an amazing learning experience every single time if you are open to it. Betsy, I need help stop binging. I did before Thanksgiving, but with guests home and so many other events, I forgot my mindfulness around food, and now again I'm binging. It's just when I'm listening to podcasts and lives, I'm very mindful in the right mindset. How long will it normally take to become my new habit of being mindful all the time? Okay, first I want y'all to quit asking how long it's going to take. I mean, what if I told you, you know, 3 years, right? Or whatever it is, right? There's no time in the future where all of this is just going to be perfect and you're never going to make a mistake again. It's always a practice of practice. And so thinking that, oh, if I just wait this amount of time, then it'll all, you know, get done and figured out for good, that doesn't help you, right? So here's all that's happened. You just quit practicing the new thoughts, right? You know, you talk about the mindfulness around food. You just got out of practice for a little while with Thanksgiving and people visiting and all that kind of stuff, and you just get right back at it. And the best way to do that is to get into action, right? Is to make a plan and commit to following it. And so when you get into action, then that starts reinforcing your thoughts of, okay, I can do this. I'm working on this. I'm figuring this out. I'm doing this, right? I'm doing this messy work, but I want to do it because I want to lose weight for these reasons, right? And you start reminding yourself of your compelling reasons. So that's just kind of it's nothing as big has happened here. And right now I think you're making all of this a big deal that you're back to binging again. I was working with another client yesterday about binging. And if we could just quit making it such a big deal, then, oh my gosh, right? If we just saw our overeats, binges, whatever you want to call them, whatever they are, as just not a big deal, as part of the process, then it would just be a game changer. Because if we didn't make them a big deal, then we'd be able to get right back on our plan. And we wouldn't be beating ourselves up and judging ourselves and all of that for going off of our plan. If it was just part of the deal, and it is part of the deal, it's part of the process. You have to overeat to lose weight. You have to overeat to lose weight. That's kind of a mind bender, right? You have to overeat sometimes to lose weight, because you have to learn from it. And the only way you're going to learn from it is if you do it and then learn from it through the recovery worksheet. Does cold mess up our hunger scale? Yes. Yeah. So being sick can definitely affect your hunger scale. When your body is focused on healing, then sometimes it might be hungrier. Sometimes it might not. You might not have any appetite. It just depends. And so when you're sick, it's just all about trusting your body. You know, our bodies are pretty amazing machines, right? they know what to do. You know, I cut my finger the other day, and it's just like, well, it knows what to do, right? It knows to scab over so that it can protect my wound and it can heal. I mean, if we just trust our bodies to do what they were designed to do, then we would just be so much better off. So it's just all about listening to your body, giving it fuel when it needs fuel. But sometimes Corinne talks a lot when she's sick that she just doesn't have much of an appetite. And it's just sometimes your body is using all that stuff to just focus on healing. So I just don't overthink it and just continue to listen to your body. We set a goal weight and break it down into weekly goals. How can we be more neutral toward the scale and interpret it as just data if it's something we're working toward? Well, that's a good question, D. I think it's D. So the thing is, it's all about what you make that goal mean, right? So if you set a goal, this is my thing. I got me a little soapbox about goals, because we put a lot into goals when I think the more important part of a goal is the person that you become and the habits that you develop getting to that goal. I think actually achieving the goal is a very small part of goal setting. It's all about all these days in between of you doing the work day after day. And so when I set a goal, yeah, it's great if I achieve it, but I'm not going to make it mean I'm a failure if I don't, because I am going to always focus on the success and the progress that I made to get to that goal. And if I didn't meet it in the time, in the arbitrary time that I set, so what? I developed some habits, some good habits. I learned a lot through the process, right? I did recovery worksheets and I learned. So what if I didn't reach it in that date? I'll just set a new one and keep going forward. Because that's what it's all about, is going forward. Because again, setting, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in the next 2 months. You don't really know if you can do that. That it's just kind of an arbitrary number in an arbitrary amount of time. But you do know that you can move forward towards it. And that's the really important part. So that's my thoughts about goals. All right, good questions. Oh, we got a few more. Oh, good. I'm glad I answered your questions well. Okay, one last question, and then Kathy, I'll talk to you. She wanted to say thank you. You coached me last week, I believe, and let me tell you, this has helped me so much. It was about my granddaughter. Yes, Yvonne. I went back and wow, I focused on her, not anyone else or how she interacts with her other grandparents. I was able to enjoy her laughing with them and with me. It really made my trip so enjoyable. I'm so glad, Yvonne. And she said she also didn't snack as much because she was enjoying her time more. It's amazing how that happens, right? That we aren't focused on the food when we're focused on connection with people that we love, right? Okay, Kathy, you are up. And then I will, I think maybe might have been a couple of questions in the chat. Hello, there you are. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
I work on a relationship with people that have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother and father both passed away last year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I wrote down about sort of like a fear of getting to my goal was that I would feel guilty that I wasn't able to do it while they were still alive.
Mm.
And what do I do with that?
Mm.
How do I neutralize that? I mean, I don't think it's a thought that I wrote down and I contemplate it from time to time, but I don't think it's like hosing me in any way, to be perfectly honest. But
well, but let me ask you, are you losing weight? Are you losing weight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so well, let's just get it up here. And the thought was I wasn't able to lose it when they were here.
Yeah.
And you felt, and you feel guilty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you doing or not doing when you feel guilty?
What's my action when I feel guilty?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I avoid working on my goal.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you're, and that's why I was asking if you were losing weight. So it sounds like you're not thinking this all the time.
No.
Or you would, you know, you wouldn't be losing weight, but you may be thinking of this some of the time. And so it may be, you know, slowing down your weight loss.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So the result is, you know, you're not losing weight at, you know, as fast as you would.
Right.
Right. You're proving your thought true that, well, I couldn't lose it when they were here. So, you know, it basically your thought is like, so I might as well just not try.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of associated thoughts with that was sort of like, well, nobody cares now if I lose weight. Right. So what's the point?
Yeah. So what is the point? I love it when y'all ask when you ask questions, because I'm like, okay, you now you get to answer it. What's the point?
I mean, the point is for me, you know, yes. It's because it's my reasons, but I know that Kathy and Corinne have this like transformation week or the relationships weekend, I think it was called.
Yes.
And it sort of helped me got me thinking like, well, how do I work on that relationship with my parents? Because my weight was always a big deal, especially with my mom, you know? So
have you gone through the relationships course?
No.
On the mastering relationships course.
Yeah.
It's on the website. And really the biggest thing that comes out of that course is that all a relationship is just thoughts in your mind about the other person, about the person or the people. Mm-hmm. And so the way that I would answer that question is that you can have whether they, you know, are here or not anymore, you can have whatever relationship you want with anyone mm-hmm. by just the thoughts that you think about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you want to think about your parents?
I don't know. That's a loaded question. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
it's an important question, right? I mean, it's what you're asking about.
Right. I mean, part of me, I'm still like very angry, mm-hmm. you know, with them, but they weren't terrible parents. I mean, I know that intellectually. Mm-hmm. So
why are you choosing anger?
Because we never really worked on these issues mm-hmm. while they were still here. It was, mm-hmm. you know,
but again, and, you know, it wasn't, I mean, you know, you feeling the anger was coming from your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't coming from anything that they said or did or anything. And so, like I said, you can just decide right now, okay, anger, you know, I'm done with anger.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just decide they did, you know, they did the best they could.
Right.
I love them. That's that.
Yeah.
If you want to, right. Mm-hmm. You can always choose. You can always choose whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what is what's the alternative? You know, what's the reason for keeping with the anger?
How is it serving me?
Yeah.
How does anger serve me? I guess, I don't know. Well, maybe I never felt like I was a very good daughter. You know, I didn't do my duties, my daughterly duties, as well as I should have.
So is it more anger at yourself?
Well, so if I'm angry at them, mm-hmm. it's like I have justification as to why I wasn't the perfect daughter. It's like, well, they wronged me, you know? And so now I feel justified in not mm-hmm. being the, you know, doing all the things that they wanted me to do. So.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're really aware of kind of why you're choosing what you're choosing. And so, yeah. you know, it's just, you know, it's just, you know, if that's serving you, then you can absolutely choose it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what, you know, but does it get you ultimately with the, you know, with a model, does it get you the result you want?
Well, I mean, in a Pollyanna world, I guess mm-hmm. I would, you know, look back on my parents with love and fondness and, you know, and remember all the good things about them. But I only remember the painful things. And
why does it have to be a Pollyanna world?
I don't know. I mean, we didn't have the perfect relationship. So for me to just,
it's not that to feel love and stuff doesn't mean that you're just forgetting or discounting the other stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you can feel both at the same time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can feel whatever you want. It's just a matter of what, you know, what gets you the result that you want as you go through your life now that they're, mm-hmm. you know, and again, they don't have to be gone, right? They could still be here and you can right. decide how you feel about them, no matter what they say or do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It really doesn't matter whether they're here or not.
Yeah.
And so it's just totally up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And how you want to, you know, just how you want to show up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I'd like it to be that I remember them in a good light so that I can communicate that to my kids
mm-hmm.
because they're so little, you know, mm-hmm. my daughter was only 3 when last year when they both passed away. So she has no memory of them really.
Mm-hmm.
My son has more cause he's a little bit older, but you know, it would, especially for her, you know, it'd be good if I could share like, you know, the fond memories and things like that. So they're not just pictures or figments or something like that, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But I think a lot of times when we think about, you know, just focusing on the fond memories, we think that we're somehow kind of letting them off the hook or something for
yeah.
these other
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, I mean, they're, you know, they're gone, right? It's just like, it has nothing to do with them. It's how you want to show up for you, for your kids and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, they are, you know, have their stuff and they're dealing with their stuff. Right. I mean, but it's just, you know, when you kind of take the focus off of them and onto you, just how do you want to remember them? I mean, that's really kind of the question.
Yeah.
Ask yourself. So
should I sort of start with like the results, like these are the things I want to remember about my parents?
Yeah. And so let's just, so, I mean, definitely do some journaling and just, you know, that question, kind of that loaded question you were talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
How do you want to remember them? And so, let's say parents died, it was last year.
Yeah.
You said, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to remember them um, you know, and then like just in this way, in terms of, I mean, and this is the journaling that you can do. And I mean, and it's definitely going to be, you know, it could be more than one thing, right? You know, I was talking about just something like, I want to remember them as, you know, they did the best they could and at the time or whatever, you know, whatever it was. And it could be a big list of things of how you want to remember them. And then from the feeling, you know, it's what kind of feeling do you want there in terms of,
I guess just a feeling of love.
A feeling of love. Okay. And so your action is, you know, you, again, you, we talked about journaling, right? You remember them from a place of love. And then you talked about talking to your kids. And then the result is, it's really the very same as the thought. It's like, I remember them, you know, in my way, in my own way, how you choose. And so, yeah. And so again, it's just like, this is wide open, right? It's just like, okay, if I'm, you know, if you're journaling, you could say, okay, if I'm coming from love, you know, if I want to remember them with love, then what does that look like? And again, it may not be just totally ignoring everything, but it's just, you know, these things happen. They were doing the best they could, or just a thought, you know, some sort of thought like that. And then you just, but you get to decide. You always get to decide. Because again, that, that relationship is just thoughts in your mind.
Yeah.
Every time you think of them, you get to decide what that relationship looks like.
Right. Because like other people can't be in your mind.
Right. Other people can't be in your result line. Yeah. So even if they were still alive, right? Like everything, you know, them changing couldn't be in the result line. Right.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we talk about relationships all the time with people that are still here and it's, and they're still doing things all the time, but we always get to decide, well, you know, I love them no matter what. Right. I love them no matter what is a,
yeah,
a loving thought.
Yeah. That would be a good thought to have too, too. Just no matter what, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I was reading something and it's just, I love just that, you know, you can always choose love. You can always choose love. Meaning why not? Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, so just do some thinking on that. Just take your time with really thinking about how you want to remember them in your way.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. All right. Let's see. We got a few more minutes. Let me see. Bunch of people helping Sam. I think there was a question back up here that I wanted to answer. Gosh, I'm going way back. Let's see. There may be. There was a question about one of the events or something. Let's see. Okay. Someone said, I just realized I'm not following the plan since the plan includes water and I still haven't gotten that down. Should I be doing a recovery worksheet every day I don't drink water? Good question. Do you think you should? I think you should. Because I think it would really help you figure out why you're not drinking water. And if you got to do a recovery worksheet, you might start drinking that water, right? So why not? Every time someone asks me, should I do a recovery worksheet on this? I say, why not? Sure, why not? I mean, it's only going to help you, right? Or it's only going to, I mean, certainly not going to hurt you. And so, yeah, I mean, raw water is no different. If you're not, I mean, it's one of the four basics. So if you're not getting it in, you want to figure out why. So take advantage of that recovery worksheet. Yes, I think we're changing the name to Discovery Worksheet. Don't quote me on that, but I think we are working on that. Let's see. Just looking here, see if there's any other questions. If anybody else wants to get coached, we've probably got time for one or two more. Laura, let's get you on here. Okay. There's just too much in the chat. If y'all have any questions you want me to answer, put them in the Q&A. Okay. All right, Miss Laura, unmute you.
Can you hear me?
Let me ask you some video. Yes. Hi. There you are.
Here I am.
Yes.
Betsy, I just want to tell you, I've been listening to you for a long time, and you have grown so much. So I just want to say thank you. You're just amazing. I think you're all amazing.
Thank you. That's like the best compliment ever to just, when y'all recognize that, that we've grown because you have grown. That's the best thing ever, right? To just grow and learn and do better and do more. So I just really appreciate that. So
yeah, you have. Thank you.
Thank you.
So can you help me with a model?
Sure.
So I got in a huge, relationship ending fight with somebody that I've been friends with for over 30 years.
Okay.
And I'm very, very, very angry. And I don't know how to get past it.
Okay.
So the circumstance, I don't know what you want for the circumstance. She pissed me off. But
okay. Yeah, that's not a neutral circumstance.
So. No, that is not neutral.
No. So that's more your thought. I mean, that's one of your thoughts, right? She pissed me off.
One of many.
Yes. So what do you think? I did that model call the other day, and it was like, circumstance should be factual, no adjectives, no emotion, should be really boring. So what could the circumstance be?
Her and her husband were going to lend me and my husband some money to buy a business.
Okay.
And her terms, the terms that she offered on the repayment were predatory. Again, that's not neutral.
Right.
Right? So.
But maybe, let's say terms of loan, maybe.
Yeah. That's good. Because,
I mean, that may be something. I mean, is that something we could like maybe use on a piece of paper or something that we could see is factual?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I've been asked.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So what are your thoughts about the terms of the loan? Well, they're predatory.
Mm-hmm.
She pissed me off. What else?
Unreasonable.
Okay.
The biggest thought is that I felt like they were taking advantage of us.
Okay. So that's really because I was going to ask you, what do you make all this mean about you? Right.
Right.
They are taking advantage of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how does that feel?
It feels horrible. I am so absolutely furious. I'm furious with her.
Okay.
With them.
So when you feel furious, what are you doing or not doing?
Well, right now I've been eating, which is a fabulous way to handle this, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I see how this model is going to play out. So, okay. And so are you probably kind of stewing in your
anger? Stewing and I'm composing nasty emails in my head and I'm talking and bitching and moaning to everybody that'll listen. You know what you do.
So basically what you're doing is, I mean, this might sound kind of, but you're basically like, you're taking advantage of yourself, right? You're kind of treating yourself the same way that you think that they are treating you. Because basically what you mean here is that they're treating us bad.
Yeah.
And so then...
Now I'm treating myself bad.
You treat yourself bad. Yes. So, I'll go ahead and say taking advantage of yourself, just to be consistent with the...
theme.
With the thought, you know, proving the thought true. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, if they're going to treat me bad, I'll treat me bad too.
That's kind of messed up.
It's not really, right? I mean, it's a very common thing. I mean, it's the way the model works, right? When you think just bad stuff, your brain wants to just, okay, if everything's bad, you know, if that's bad, then let's make everything bad, right? I was talking about that earlier with someone else, where it's just, your brain just wants everything to be consistent in some way. And when you're thinking really crappy thoughts, it's like, okay, let's make everything crappy.
When
you're really entrenched in this thought, like, oh, they're taking advantage of us, then it's a lot harder to do, you know, to do good things for yourself in other areas, right? Your brain just wants to stay in that dirty diaper at all times.
Okay. But I want out of the dirty diaper because right now I don't want to give her that sort of free rent in my head, and it's killing me. The anger is tearing me up. So, okay.
So the terms of the loan are not changing, right?
Right.
So, okay. So we got these terms. So what?
I can accept them or decline them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I declined vehemently.
Okay. But, you know, they can have whatever. It's their money, right?
Right.
They can do what they want with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you say? You said you
can, I can accept.
I can accept or decline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you, just to kind of, you know, again, kind of peel back the layer and really focus on you. What, or how does that feel when you think I can accept or decline?
I'm still frustrated.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, I'm still frustrated. I need to work on letting go of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's okay. I mean, it's okay for you to have frustration in here.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to. I mean, and I think almost think this is more kind of a laddering thought, where it's like you're still working on believing or working on accepting that you can, you know, that you can accept or decline. Right. I mean, you're just working on it you're seeing this circumstance as neutral and you're just working on it. Right. And so you've still got some frustration here, but what else is kind of coming to the surface with this?
Oh, just, there's, you know, 30 plus years of background, right? Mm-hmm. There's, 30 years.
So it's not just the
the
terms of the loan, right?
It just sort of brought everything to a head. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what I keep trying to tell myself is people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, and our season it's just over. And I'm working on being okay with that. Right? Does that make more sense?
I mean, it's almost like kind of, it's bigger picture, right? I mean, the terms of the loan was the immediate thing, but it's almost like it's the entire relationship, all the things they said, did everything.
And
it's like, you know, you said you said this season is over.
Right.
Or something like that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
I mean, it makes me sad, but it also feels true.
Yeah. It's like you're going to, I mean, sad is totally normal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like when, I mean, it's kind of a relationship dying. So it's kind of like someone dying, right? You're going to be sad.
Right.
There's nothing, nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm okay with sad. It's the anger. So maybe I'm working on believing that it's just time for this to end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's definitely a similar thought to this. And that's something, you know, that's another thought you can, it's just, I mean, I it may just be, I'll add that. It's time for this to end.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it may be a laddering thought where it's, I'm working on believing.
Right.
I'm working on accepting this. Time for this to end.
Yeah.
And it's also something where you could put at the end, you know, and that's okay.
It is okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is okay.
I love adding, and that's okay, to all kinds of thoughts, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it just moves into, you know, again, sadness is part of it, but maybe something like acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just, I don't know. That's just a suggestion, but.
Okay. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the action is, mm-hmm. I just move on.
You just feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean.
Yes.
You feel sad. You don't try to cover up the sadness with food and that kind of stuff, where it's just you embrace the feeling. You know, you're in a mourning process.
Yeah.
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 Just, you know, that can be part of this. Just mourn. You know, think about the good times and know that, you know, and feel sad that those are done, but they were good at the time, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, just like when someone dies. And so, the result is, you know, you, that the season is over, that it does end, but really kind of the result here is that, like, for you, it's, you know, I control, you know, the relationship, maybe, or something like that, where it's just like I was saying with someone today, someone earlier, about, you know, all a relationship is thoughts in our mind, right? You know,
right.
All a relationship is just the thoughts that we have about that person or those people.
Right.
And so you're in total control about what you think about whether it's a relationship that you want to maintain or that you want to end. And so you're in control of how you think about it, and you're thinking, okay, it's time for this to end, and that's okay. And you're just,
no, that feels, responsibility. That feels a lot more liberating than I'd like to blow her up, right?
Right. Well, and it's like, you know, that anger is, you know, that's out of control, you know, ness kind of stuff, right? It's like you're feeling very out of control on that, that unintentional model. And so with this one, it's just, you know, you're taking the reins, right? You're taking the control about how you want to show up. And again, it's not all rainbows and daisies.
Because, no.
I mean, you know, it's going to feel crappy for a while, especially if it's, you know, a relationship you had for a while. And, you know, and if you did have a lot of good times and stuff, but you've decided, you've taken, you know, responsibility and decided that it's time for it to end anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll work on that laddering thought. And when you do these models, there's another, I get kind of confused. So when it feels like a true model for you, like I'm working on believing, do you just keep telling yourself that over and over, or do you TDL and do the same model every day? How do you reinforce?
You reinforce by practicing, by living, basically living the model. Right. So you practice the thought, and then that leads you to feel the feelings. And then that leads, you know, in this case, you know, you're actually just feeling feelings in your action okay. line, you know, okay. and so you're just, it's this thought, feeling, action cycle that you just live over and over and over again. And so when you hear your, you know, when you feel the anger or when you hear the thoughts coming up, you know, about how they took advantage of us, it's like, no, I'm not, you know, that's not what I want to be doing or thinking and feeling right now. And so it's just time for it to end. And then you just move into that model. So yeah, it's just practicing those thoughts and going through that model over and over again to reinforce the new thoughts.
Okay. Okay. So that's,
you could call it, sometimes we call it mental rehearsal, where you're just rehearsing it over and over again. And as you continue to get this, you know, get this same result and take ownership for, you know, your part of your, take ownership for the relationship, then that reinforces, okay, and yep, this feels good to just take ownership over this and not just live in anger all the time.
And there's, people are like, why for over the terms of a loan? There's 30 years of background. The term that was the final straw.
It doesn't even matter. Yeah. I mean, somebody's saying here, like, you know, it seems like a big leap that you want to end the relationship. And it's like, no, I mean, that's her opinion about it. Right. I mean, it's
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like you, I mean, we can end any relationship we want for whatever reason we want. Right. We are always in charge of relationships because all they are thoughts about that other person.
Right.
And so, you know, you don't have to, you know, defend your decision or anything, right? It's just decide and you take.
Yeah, no, and mostly I just don't want to be so mad.
Yeah.
So I need a laddering thought to let go of that anger.
But you also have the option, you know, to maintain the relationship with them if you wanted to. And you would do that through your thoughts as well, right? Mm. I mean, it's just, it's all, you know, all options are open. And it all starts with your thoughts about the, you know, the relationship. And so it's just, there's no right answer, right, to what you want to do. It's just your decision to make.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all. It is 7:00. I'm going to get back to work on this no BS stuff. So yes, relationships are thoughts. It's all they are. It's very interesting, right? That we can just have any thoughts we want about someone. Any thoughts we want, no matter what. No matter what they've ever said or done, we can decide. We always get to decide. So it's a good way to end it tonight. All right, guys. So I will be back tomorrow night to do a Q&A on all things gift of fat and weight loss and all of that. So I look forward to seeing y'all again, and we'll be on Zoom because we're doing all of our stuff on Zoom now. So look for me tomorrow night at 5:00, probably not for this long, but I'll be on for an hour or so, and y'all can come back on and answer and ask any questions you have. So I will see you then. All right. Bye.